How's everyone doing? Good. Well, I'm here by myself today because last night, I know it's going to sound weird, just don't freak out, but Gay ended up going to the hospital. Yeah. And she was having some weird heart stuff going on, and so her Apple Watch was saying like it was going way up and then down, way up and down. And her sister has AFib, so Kay's going like, I think you're going to some kind of AFib. And so we waited a little while, and then she tried my watch on to see if it was her watch, and it wasn't. It was acting up. So about 6 o'clock, we got to the hospital, and maybe it was closer to 7. And she was there for a few hours, and they finally got it kind of under control, but it just exhausted her. Like, she's completely just wiped out. So that's why she's not here today. So we're going to pray for her and just believe that the Lord will cause her heart to come back into the way it's supposed to beat, and that she won't need a whole bunch of medications to try to stay that way. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your healing hand upon Gay right now. Lord, we know that you are the great physician. Lord, that you are the one that bore the stripes so that we could have healing. Lord, that you were wounded, Lord, for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities, Lord, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that you took our place, Lord. You exchanged our sickness, Lord, for your health. You exchanged our diseases, Lord, for full life and life abundantly, Lord. So we receive that right now for Gay. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to do a restoration process in her. We know, Lord, that she's your daughter. You love her, Lord, and that you want the very best for her. So we receive that for her now in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now we just come before you for this service as we did earlier. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to have your perfect way here today. That as we lift our hearts in worship, Lord, as we dedicate, Lord, ourselves to you afresh and anew today, Lord, and as we cause our voices to be lifted up, Lord, with the breath that you put in our lungs, Lord, that you're going to inhabit our praises, Lord, and that we'll experience, Lord, your presence in a way, Lord, that will bring us closer, draw us deeper into who you are, a greater level of intimacy, Lord. This is what we're believing for today. So, Lord, we just thank you, and we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Thank you.
Inside you, open up my eyes and That this service means nothing without you, without your spirit that you're moving in hearts right now, God. Yeah, if you need a touch from God, just receive it right now. You don't have to have anything special to happen. You don't have to have any pastor lay hands on you. The Father is here and he wants to touch his children right now. So just receive the touch from God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. this song talks about God blessing us and blessing our families. And I know full well having a prodigal in my family. And I know that we all have those. And we wonder, why is God not blessing our family? Because we have one who's not following or not believing. But you know what? God's still blessing them. He is still their child. They are just far away from Him, and they haven't come to that realization yet. And He is still blessing you, and He is still blessing them. And what He wants from us is to continue to sing this, and to continue to pray this, and have faith in this, and to continue to walk in the steadfast, and be in their place, and stand in the place for them, and stand in the gap. He doesn't want us to lose hope for those that are lost from us. And He doesn't want us to lose hope. And He doesn't want us to lose faith. They will come. They will return. It may not be in our time or when we want it, but it will be in God's time. He will call them back. And He will bless them on the way too, right? Yes. And He will bless us more as we keep standing in the place for those. So if you have lost family, if you have family that's not quite walking the way they should, keep praying for them. Keep standing in faith and keep singing this and keep believing in this.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor
So grateful that you're at the center of it all. Even if we don't see you, Lord, you are there. Even if we don't hear you moving around us, Lord, you're there. Lord, but today we choose by faith to acknowledge that you're at the center of our lives. You're at the very, very center of our lives. So much, Lord, that every hair on our head is numbered. Lord, you know everything about us. You're always thinking about us. Help us to remember more often, Lord, that you're at the center, that you're there working in and through us, Lord, to perform your good pleasure. We just thank you, Jesus, that we can count on you. Even when you can't count on us, Lord, we can count on you, Lord, to be at the center of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Hallelujah. Are you joining me or? Yep, she is. She's going, he can't be without me on Valentine's Day, right?
I didn't remember it was Valentine's Day.
I said Happy Valentine's when
I didn't think about it.
Oh, you didn't think about it. Well,
she's here, so I'm glad she's here. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hi, family. As he was saying, every hair is numbered. I was thinking about every heartbeat is counted.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. And last night, that was surely the case for me.
Amen. So. Yeah, there's, you know, we are in his sight all the time.
Yeah.
And it was weird being back at the hospital again.
So fast.
I was telling her, I said, this feels weird going back to the hospital. Praise the Lord. Waiting to go to PowerPoint here. I got it, David.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
So, thanks, David. No, I know you sometimes have things you got to watch. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to continue to pray for our government leaders. And last week, I think I was just reading this to Gay, and I said, isn't this good? And this is 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, the Passion Translation. So I'm going to go ahead and read this before I pray, because I think it helps put things into a little bit of perspective. And again, the Passion Translation takes some liberties, but it's really trying to bring out the truth of what the Scripture is saying. So he says, most of all here, this is Paul, like the father of Timothy in the faith. Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayer and request as you intercede with intense passion. Remember that intense passion. Not just throw up a popcorn prayer. Verse 2. And pray for every political leader and representative. So notice it doesn't say pray for every political leader of your party or that you like. And every representative that you agree with. It's for all political leaders and all representatives. And this says why? So that we'd be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. And I know we're in, kind of crazy times, upheaval by some people's estimation. Some people just say, you know, it's like we're on the verge potentially of some kind of civil war, but that still doesn't stop the fact that we're asked and commanded by God to pray. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the thing is for us, a lot of times when it comes to the government and comes to, you know, like entire cabinets and the Congress and stuff, we think, well, what's my prayer going to do? Well, the thing is that we have to realize that we have been given, like, a privilege, an honor, to be able to declare things and pray things that actually change circumstances.
Right.
And we're not the only ones praying. Believe me, there's other believers out there that even though they're you know, and there's some praying that are for this administration. But what we want to see God do, we want to see God touch the hearts of our leaders. So that they will make godly decisions. So they will make decisions that will be the best for all people, not just for one select group, not just for a constituent,
right,
but for all people. And why? So that we can live a tranquil, undisturbed life. How many know that it is, you know, during persecution that the church sometimes grows? But it's also difficult sometimes to live through those persecutions.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is reminding Timothy that living a tranquil, undisturbed life isn't a bad thing.
Right.
So, Father, we just lift, Lord, the Biden administration before your throne of grace right now. And, Lord, we pray for every cabinet member, Lord, those that have already been chosen, and those that are being accepted and reviewed by the Senate. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just work in these lives and in these hearts. Lord, we know that from our natural perspective, as we see things,
certain things look impossible, but we know that you're the God of the impossible. So right now we pray that they would be able to be led by God, be able to hear and be guided by your design, Lord. We know, God, that you are the one that turns the heart of the king like you turn water. So, Lord, we just pray that there would be an availability and a vulnerability, Lord, by this administration, Lord, to hear your voice. And, Lord, we pray for the Congress. We pray, Lord, for the Congress and the Senate, Lord. We pray for the Supreme Court, Lord. We pray for all these branches of government, Lord, that hold so much power. And, Lord, that a lot of times use that power, Lord, for their own benefit. We pray that they would become a righteous government, Lord, that we would once again return, Lord, to the roots of what this country was founded on, Lord, and that is your godly ways, Lord, your plans and your purposes that you have for our nation. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for a supernatural touch in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And we choose to not look at the things that are seen right now. We choose to look at the things that are unseen, because we know behind the scenes, Lord, you're working. And we agree, Lord, with your design and purposes that you have for D.C. in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
And can I say the exclamation
yes.
point is verse 3. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
It pleases him. And if we want to please our God, we're going to pray for them whether or not we agree with them or not.
And like I said last week, I have been, not as passionate. And I don't think we've ever, maybe one time in maybe a prayer meeting or something like that, we've prayed about, you know, the government when it was under President Trump. And part of that is I think you get, you know, if you're agreed or disagreed with his stance, for the most part, he was kind of living, not living, but, you know, having mandates and stuff like Israel becoming a nation, yeah, not a nation, but the Jerusalem becoming their center again. It kind of looked like he was being more Christian. And so we tend to like say, oh, well, we don't need to pray as much, you know. And so, you know, I was guilty. And so I know this is different, us praying, but I'm really trying to change, you know, because I realize those 11 days in the hospital, things are really important that we don't always deem important, mm-hmm. like relationships and time together and God's presence. Mm-hmm. Those are keys for us to focus on.
Amen.
So if anyone, when we get to this point on Sundays, we're going to do this for a while, wants to pray and has something on their heart, please come up and say, yes, Pastor, I want to pray at this time. So,
not just you.
Not just me. So we're going to talk about the yoke of love. I think you guys know that this is Valentine's Day. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I think I've thrown it in many times in sessions when we're preaching because it has so many applications. But I think only one other time we've actually shared on this. And it was on my heart to share on this, and then I was kind of going, I thought, another direction. But then I realized, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and why don't we focus? Because I was focusing on this yoke. Mm-hmm. But then as I've, and it's not like I can take you to a scripture that says, this yoke is love. But hopefully today I'll be able to communicate that. And for those of you saying, what is a yoke? It's not like I'm going to tell you guys a yoke, okay? It's not that. Really. It's not that. This is a yoke right here. It is a device that was used to connect two or more animals together. And as you see, there was like a bar that went across each of the animals' necks. And then underneath was like a holder. Yeah. What'd you call it?
Halter.
Okay, halter. And because they would do this, guess what would happen? There would be more power for these beasts of burdens to pull something. Like they actually rated yokes sometimes by how many acres they could do like in a day and stuff. So how many animals it took to accomplish something. So this is a yoke. Now, what is the purpose of me showing this? Hopefully this next verse will give some enlightenment. Oh, no, not next verse. Let's talk about here, the word yoke. Well, here, I'm going to go ahead and go to this verse first. ESV, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Can you read it, babe?
Mm-hmm. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You're going to have to do it.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, back again here. Jesus is talking about us taking up his yoke and putting it upon us. And first, before he says that, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy, burdened, weighed down. And how many know that the Jews in that day were heavy burdened and weighed down with tons of laws that they could barely keep, that they could keep up with? Jesus said it many times that, you know, the Pharisees themselves couldn't even keep the laws that they had. And so they were weighted down with these burden of these laws. And what we're weighted down with today is the burden of our own sins, things that we have done in the past, the way that we view God's view of us. We're weighted down with that. And Jesus is saying, come to me. And he's letting us know that we don't have to have those things. You know, I've heard stories, and I think Tyson one time shared this at an encounter that we had, and he had a big pack of rocks that, you know, that he was carrying in a backpack, and it was super heavy. And he showed that how, you know, him carrying that even, you know, hunched him over, and he, you know, he's like weighted down. It was in his, like, his countenance, because it was so hard to carry. And that's what burdens do for us. They cause us to not really display that God's grace is working in us, because we're so weighted down. We're so heavy with what's going on in our lives that we it's hard for us to even think about other people. Mm-hmm. I know when I'm at my worst, I don't see people that well, you know. Well, maybe a little more these days. My olden days, when I was at my worst, I was more concerned about myself, you know. I know that we had like a experience a few weeks ago, which kind of showed different, but that, you know, that's because of his transforming power. That's because I have yoked myself to his love,
yeah,
which I hope we can communicate here. So if we look at this word yoke, take my yoke, it's actually a rabbinical term. And the rabbis were the teachers in that day. How many have like read in their Bible where they call Jesus rabbi? Rabbi. That wasn't because he was an official rabbi. You know, he didn't actually go through all their schools and everything. That's why they asked him, what authority do you have to say these things, you know? But he was a teacher, and he was a teacher who brought a new enlightenment to the law. You know, how many remember in Matthew 5, he says, you've heard it said that you shall, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, he basically took the law to another level. He said in another place, you know, it had been told that if you commit adultery, it's a sin. He says, but I tell you, if you've just looked at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery or lust in your heart. In other words, he was taking the law to another level. That was him being a rabbi. So then it says the Jewish doctors, which are like the scribes or scribes, often speak of the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. I think this is interesting because we know that Jesus was proclaiming what when he came? And what was John saying? Prepare yourself, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this was a phrase that they had in their day. And if you look here, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven wasn't the same thing as the yoke of the law. It's distinguished from the yoke of the law. And they used to have a saying that said, a man must first take upon him the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and after that, take upon him the yoke of the commandment. And this reminds me of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then being able to love your neighbor as yourself, being able to fulfill those commandments, because you're already yoked to heaven. You're already yoked to God. This was before Jesus came that they had this statement. So when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, and when he was talking to the disciples about the yoke, they knew what he meant. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay. Let's go ahead and look at the ERV version. Is your throat? No, you can't talk. Okay. She says, no, no, not me. Okay. Come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden, and you have been forced to carry. That you have been, what? You have been forced to carry. I will give you rest. See, you gotta have, you're going to have to help me here on this.
Accept my teaching. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light.
So the easy read version is communicating that the yoke here that they see is Jesus' teaching, which that's partly true. Because how many know that when we read the word, we're reading God's teaching to us? He's the Holy Spirit is giving light to the word as we read it, and he's teaching us. So there is that aspect of it. But I think it goes even further than that, and hopefully we'll communicate that with this next translation.
This is the Passion. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Isn't
that
beautiful?
I love that. Mm. Yeah, that's the same thing as I will give you rest.
Right. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear.
So again, are you weary? Have you been carrying a heavy burden? You know, there's songs about that. Then come to me, and I will refresh your life, for I'm your oasis. I'll give you rest. So if we're burdened, if we're heavy, weighted down, if we're realizing that, man, I can barely get through each day, or, you know, or there's things that we have had happen to us and we're holding on to those. You know, we're letting those become like an anchor to us. We focus on those more than we focus on God, or on just the good things that God has already put in our lives, or the things that we can count as blessings. You know, sometimes one of the best ways to move from being so focused on all your problems is to take a moment and start thanking God for things. Mm-hmm. And because thanksgiving opens up the door to his presence. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. It's like a supernatural door that opens. It's like a secret weapon for Christians. Mm-hmm. If we would just learn to be more thankful at times when we're heavy weighted, things will turn around. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be thankful and burdened at the same time. So, and I've shared this before, but there's times, you know, that I've shared about the worst stuff in my life.
Yeah.
But you could just start sharing with the Lord from your heart and say, Lord, thank you that I'm alive. How many people know people that have died recently from COVID or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know how long we have. So we can be thankful, Lord, I'm alive today.
Thank you
that I have... I'm able to stand upright. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a wheelchair. I mean, there's things that you can thank him for that have never happened to you. And you're like, well, but I mean, that's obvious. Well, it's not so obvious when you're thanking him, because what ends up happening, you start realizing how blessed you are in the state you're in, that you're not as bad off as you thought you were. You could thank the Lord that you live in the United States. How many people have seen individuals from other countries? Their stomachs are bloated. They're on the verge of dying. And we live here in the United States. That's something to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. I think if we took some time and were thankful, some of those burdens would just be released. And we would not have to carry them.
Well, and we have to actually... This is what's so wonderful about this scripture, is that it's almost like a mirror for our life. We can look in the mirror in this scripture and we can say, have I been carrying burdens God didn't even require me to carry? Like, if his load is easy and I've been feeling not so easy, or if his load is light and I've been feeling heavy with burden or heavy with a weight, is it a weight that I've put on myself and Jesus hasn't? And now, so this is a mirror for us to look at with our own lives and say, wait a minute, you know, I've been so weighted down, but is this something that Jesus required of me, or is this something I've placed on myself? And if it's something that I've placed on myself and this mirror, this scripture has shown me that, then Jesus will say, cast your cares on me because I care for you.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you because it's light and easy. And so what that it does is it's so freeing for us. It's like a big light bulb goes off in our brains and we can say to ourselves, I've been overtaxing myself with the weight of this life. And Jesus didn't mean for me to carry all that. He meant for me to give it to him. And you guys, when you give it to him, do not take it back. Don't give it to him sitting in the chair you're sitting in right now. Turn around, drive home, and then throw all that stuff right back on your shoulders. That's not what he meant at all. He said, give it to me. Let me carry that part. Let me worry about what Vicky was saying, that one lost one of your family. Let me worry about your kids. Let me worry about what's going to happen about that job or about, you know, even your very life. Last night, as I was laying on the hospital bed and he was sitting on the side, it was very comforting to me to know that the same God I prayed to 1 month ago is the same God he was praying to last night. I prayed to God for him. He prayed to God for me. It wasn't a load that we were meant to bear and carry. It's too much weight, and he knows it. That's why he said it in the first place. So take him at his word, or continue to trudge through this life saying, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do about, you know, I'm worried about my kid that's not serving Jesus, or I'm, you know, worried about how things are going to turn out for, I mean, if our life is like this, what's it going to be like when my kids grow up? You know, it's going to totally suck. Well, you know what? God didn't mean for you to worry about that or care about that.
Well, he didn't want us to worry about tomorrow, and that's tomorrow.
Exactly. Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, because the more that we picture today in the future what can happen, the more now we're putting faith in the fear of the future. And today is the day we have. Today is what God's given us. And, you know, if there's things that happen, like last night, you know, I was a little concerned, you know. And so, but I was all right to be a little concerned at first about that because it was the day. You know, I wasn't then to start thinking, well, what if something happened, you know, 5 days from now or your meds fail. I mean, that's not for me to think about.
Right.
Right now, I'm to be thankful that you're here with us and you're strong and you're doing, you know, as good as you can, you know, right now with as exhausted as you were. That's a miracle that you're here. We prayed for you to be here or to be well. So good.
Well, this is my take on it. I just stomped the guts out of the devil by walking into this church. I'm just saying.
That's what Eric was saying, yeah.
I just stomped him down under the feet that he was meant to be under in the first place. Did I feel like coming? Absolutely not. My bed was very comfortable and my body was very tired. But by standing up and throwing on these clothes and walking over here, I did a little bit more than that, so don't worry about getting close. And, you know, I did clean up. But I'm just saying, I stomped his guts with my feet because Jesus is the one and Jesus is the reason, and we got to show the devil who we serve.
Yeah. Right. There we go. Boom.
Mic drop.
Did you have something, Myla? Go ahead.
I'm not going to drop this mic. I'll just pretend to.
Yeah, Jesse appreciates that.
You're going to
drop the mic.
A lot of it, too, is our pride. Like, are we being the God of our life and trying to do it from our own strength?
Right.
Because that's pride. Yeah. You know, just letting God be God, that's humility.
Yes.
Saying, whoa, even if it blows up in my face, God's still God. So I better just give it to him because he knows better for me than I do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we've been talking about, you know, vulnerability and other things at men's group on Wednesday night. And this last week, we talked about being like children. And if you think about that, most kids are only interested about the hour that they're in, right? much less tomorrow, unless they're going to go to Disneyland or something. That might throw a wrench in it.
Or
Christmas is tomorrow. But most of the time, they're just interested in what's going on in the now.
Right now.
And so I think that's one of the attributes that we could gain in our hearts, is to be really okay with the now instead of always concerned about what's coming tomorrow, what's down the pike.
So I just have to have a commercial here. So when we were still worshiping and the kids started trudging through and they were being loud and running and all that, and Nancy's going, shh, shh, you guys, please be like that more often. It does not bother us a bit. If anything, it shows us how we're to be with Jesus. Like, they didn't care that they were bothering us. It was not even a thought in their mind.
They were getting ready to go wherever they were going.
Exactly. They were excited that they got to go on a potty break together. Just telling you. So, do you see what I'm saying? God wants us to be like that. That's why when you bring your babies to church, we don't care if they're running up and down the aisle. Please, if only all of us would start doing that once in a while. We might get a little freedom in here.
Hello.
Commercial break over.
But verse 29, simply join your life. So I believe that's really when we're talking about this idea of being yoked. It's meaning that we're literally choosing to join every aspect of our life. Not just
choice.
Our neck. We're choosing to take up, because this is one thing. He didn't say, I'm going to put my yoke on you and you're going to follow me. God doesn't do that. He does not force himself on us.
And expect our muscles to eventually catch up that we can carry it. Like, he's not like that.
Well, he doesn't put the burden on us
to begin with.
If we're not ready. Right.
But sometimes we feel as if he has, and it's like, okay, I gotta use a muscle. Oh, I had a muscle there.
Well,
you're kidding.
Not his yoke.
It's not his yoke at all.
We've taken
it's
up
ours.
The yoke of the of, you know, of duty, or the yoke of performance, mm-hmm. or the yoke of, you know, being in shame, or whatever it is. You know, Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is like perfection,
mm-hmm.
and it's just what we need. That's why he says, "I'm going to give you abundant life." I'm here to tell you guys, if you don't feel like your Christian life is abundant, you need to check your yoke source. You need to check what you're connected to. Because I guarantee if you're connected to the yoke of love, which is Jesus, if it's him, what is Jesus? Jesus is the very epitome of love. That's what he demonstrated. That's who he is. What?
Check your yoke source.
Yeah, check where you're connected. I didn't mean for it to be like an explosion thing, but okay.
No, that was pretty powerful.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Can you define abundant?
Abundant. Well, it means overflowing. It means you're going to have so much that you can't even hold it in yourself, that it's going to spill over onto others. Mm-hmm. It's an abundance. It's more than you need. That's why out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We are individuals that are meant to be carriers of that life flow of God all the time. And that is how he designed us as Christians. Because
mm-hmm.
that's who Jesus was. He was constantly pouring out.
Well, and
because
enough
it was
for
who
me,
he was.
Enough for me and enough to share. I mean, not abundant just so people can see God pouring all out. Because we are meant to touch others' life. Love God first, love your neighbor second. That my neighbor should get my abundance.
Right.
My neighbor should get my overflow. My friend should get my overflow. They should see that. They should be blessed with the overflow. Not burdened by the overflow.
Oh, that's good.
So whatever overflow is coming out of you, think about that too. Because if your neighbor is like, whoa, they're a Christian and they said that, like, that's not so good. But if the abundant overflow is godly, they're going to be blessed by it. They're going to have it come and then make their cup full. Do you know what I mean? To overflowing. And that's the way it should be. Have you guys seen those where it starts at the top with one glass, and then what's being poured in overflows down to the four underneath, and then the, you know, eight underneath. That's the way we're supposed to be, overflowing so much that the other one gets filled.
Okay, here's the actual. It's periosis, and it means superior or excessive or violently exceeding, abundant, above. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a life that you can't help but just feel blessed. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that this is what he desires for us. We have to realize that if we're feeling weighted down and burdened with our Christianity, it's because we're yoked to something. We're linked up to something, just like they were. They were linked up that if they didn't fulfill these laws, then God did not like them, that they were his enemy, and that they were the scum of the earth.
They were yoked to the laws, not to God.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why that saying that first to be yoked to the kingdom, first to be yoked to the source. See, that's the key. We need to know, where is our source coming from? Is our source coming from years of growing up in church and we've heard certain things and now we think we have to align ourselves with just those things and not with God himself? You know, because God never changes, but he changes us. He changes how we see him. He changes us how we view him. Whether it's about his love or whether it's about his wrath or whether it's about his judgment or whether it's about his grace. Like when I say the peace of God that passes all understanding, to me that means different than when I was first saved.
Oh yeah.
But God's peace never changed. How I viewed that peace, how I received that peace, how that peace consumes me changed. Because I changed.
I just wanted to come up here and, because what you guys are saying is resonating with me, because I have been under like the law first, you know, I grew up in church, so I've been under the law for my whole entire Christian walk. And over the last 2 weeks, I've been just like, so, well, more than 2 weeks now, but just so desperate for God and needing a change in my life. And just, you know, I didn't know what to do, but I was just needing help. And so Myla's been like pouring into me and giving me scriptures to read and things to confess and like new ways of thinking. And it's just blowing my mind that I'm just like, oh, I have to rely on God and not like the things that I'm supposed to do that I know I'm supposed to do. And it has to come out of a relationship with God and him leading me versus the right thing to do and the, you know, the Christian thing to do. Because I've lived my whole life of like, I know the right thing to do, so that's what I'm going to stick with. And you follow God's ways, and I've always been about God's ways versus a true like abiding in him and relationship. And so this is totally new for me over the last like 3 weeks. It's just been amazing, and I'm so excited, and I hope that like all of us can live like that. If you're not yet, you know, like it's... Like I said, and being in church my whole entire life and never getting that, like it's new. And so I'm just so excited and wanted to share, like, even if, you know, you think you're a good Christian, like, and you might not be getting it. Like, I didn't get it for so many years. So I'm just thankful.
Amen. Yeah. Wow. I was right there with you for a long time, Tanya. So I agree. Yeah,
and he's a lot older than you too, Tanya. You got it sooner than later.
Amen. That's awesome. Hey, I'm willing to say I was like in a difficult state because of the foundation. You know, I had not just built a foundation; I'd built like an entire building, and Jesus had to dismantle this whole building, and all that was left was this cornerstone. I said, "Well, I know the cornerstone's Jesus," and then now he's been slowly rebuilding my foundation. And you know what? It's all the same truths. None of the truths have changed, but the way that they were put together, the way that they were fitted, because he had a way to fit them so that then that foundation could be totally built upon. And it's him.
And it has to be said, we're not in any way begrudging the way that we were brought up.
No.
We are not begrudging the way that we came to Jesus, because it brought us to Jesus.
And people were doing the very best
and
they knew at the time.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah.
They were doing the very best that they knew how. You cannot say about a pastor or a leadership team or a church or anything like that, oh, they did me dirty. No. You're closer to Jesus today you should be closer to Jesus today, I should say, than you were yesterday. And because of them, you are here at this point. And we have a whole, like we were saying the other day, we've barely scratched the surface. If all the books of the world cannot contain everything there is about God, we know nothing. Think about that. We think we know enough to get by, but we don't know diddly. We don't. And Jesus loves us anyway. So we should love them and thank them for what they did put into our life and then bless them. Bless them. In your prayer, in your time of thinking, when they come to your mind, Jesus, bless them. If they don't see the truth, if they don't see all the truth, if they don't see the part that they can be blessed and not so burdened and yoked, bless them with the sight to see, Lord. Pray blessing on them. It will free your life if you do that.
That's good. I want to make a point here of this idea of being yoked. I think this picture is so good. So you look at this, and let's just say that Jesus is on the right. And if Jesus is leading, this being me on the left, I'll make it me. If Jesus is leading and training me and teaching me, you know, he's going to be gentle and easy. And I'm going to, where he goes, I will follow. Mm-hmm. Because I'm yoked to him, because I've connected my life to him, because I've chosen to take up my cross and follow him. You know, take up what he has, you know, I've shared before that all of us have a cross to bear. And, you know, Myla's cross is not my cross. Eric's cross is not my cross. Herman's cross is not my cross. You all have an individual cross to bear. And that means, what is the cross? The cross symbolizes what we will carry in relationship to being crucified with Christ in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because when we choose God, we choose to say goodbye to our own will. Mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm. We're saying, not my will, but your will be done. And, you know, when you do that, a lot of times your will align with his will because he's put those desires in your heart anyway. But he just wants to know that those aren't your God, that those aren't your main focus. He wants him to be the number one. But again, if we look at this as that Jesus is yoked to me, where he goes, I go. But now look, if this was like a giant ox that was next to me, a weighted, heavy, burdened thing that I connected myself to, and I'm just a little tiny thing because in comparison, and instead of a nice comfortable, they use a heavy, I'm yoked to the heavy bar, and this bar's around my neck. Anytime that thing moves, it's going to like choke me. And that's what happens with being kind of unequally yoked with truth. Mm-hmm. If we're yoking ourselves to a truth that isn't something that we're to be connected to, it can destroy us. Yeah.
And that's why he says in Scripture, do not be unequally yoked, because it's too much of a burden for us to bear. We can't bear that. And so that it's not to shoot you in the foot and take your fun away, that you don't get yoked to this one that looks so big and wonderful and great. It's because he knows you can't handle it. He knows that you're not strong enough. And it just reminds me of my parents' marriage. My dad came from a Baptist background. He went to church every Sunday that he was with his mommy. And my mom was from a Pentecostal background. When they came together, and they had not been serving the Lord, like religiously serving him, and I don't mean that word negatively, but you know what I'm saying. It wasn't part of their lives. They just didn't do anything. And we grew up doing nothing. I came to Jesus by myself. I didn't have my parents.
He drew you, but
he drew me, and he was working in my life as much as he was working in any pastor's kid's life. But I'm saying that is one of the reasons Jesus says, do not be unequally yoked, because the blessing. He wants the blessing to go to your children and your children's children and on down. He doesn't want it to stop because you're unequally yoked and it's just too heavy. It's just too much.
Right.
So you just don't do anything.
So I also have this in the Amplified Translation, but I want to get to this verse because I think this is important, because this kind of really illustrates what we're talking about from the very disciples in their early days. So in Acts 15, what is taking place is that the Gentile church, which was started with Cornelius, and he was a non-Jewish individual who worshiped God and believed in God. He had an angel visit him, which gave instructions for him to call for Peter, who is in trying to remember what city he was in. Anyway, he was in a city, and he told him to go to that city, and he would find him at this tanner's house. And Peter then, on the other end, was getting like prepared for this to happen. And so Peter goes to Cornelius's house. The Holy Spirit ends up falling. They end up baptizing them in the start of the Gentile church. These were non-Jewish believers. And so Paul then, after he became saved, he started becoming pretty much the apostle to the Gentile church. And he had churches in Ephesians and Galatians. We read about those different churches. So what ended up happening is that Jewish believers felt that they needed to make sure that these Gentile Christians, Gentile believers, started keeping the law. And one of the main things they were really interested in is they wanted the men to be circumcised, no matter what age they were at. They said, you guys have to be circumcised, because in their eyes, circumcision was how you connected your identity with God, was through circumcision. Now, we know that Paul wrote some really great scriptures that it's not him who's circumcised of the flesh that's a Jew, but him who's circumcised of the heart. Because the circumcision that we all have, we're all circumcised here now. Because we, for those who have received Christ, because he circumcised our heart. He says, this child's mine. Mm-hmm. And we're identified as a kingdom kid. You know, that's why you coming over here and going, yeah, 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 because you're his. You were just demonstrating, I'm his. I'm a kingdom kid.
Take that.
I'm circumcised, just like David saying, I don't know who you are, Goliath, but I'm telling you, you're uncircumcised, and I'm taking you down.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I'm a kingdom kid. Mm-hmm. I'm God's man. You know, I'm a God child. David understood that. That was based on him being Hebrew and Jewish, but that's how it is for us now.
Right.
So during this time, they went to Jerusalem and they had a council. And these ones who wanted all the Gentiles to be circumcised are saying, oh, we need to have them circumcised. Then they can be, and follow the law. They wanted to follow the whole law. And so Peter stands up in verse 7. He says, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. He could have said circumcised their hearts by faith, as Paul added. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? So even Peter is saying here, these things that you're trying to put on these believers is going to be a yoke on their neck. And we couldn't even handle it. That's why I'm saying we need to be connected to the yoke of love. And that's Jesus himself. He is the what's it say in Colossians that he is the manifestation, I'll use that word, of the true nature of God. That's who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. He is the image. But I want to call it manifestation, because image is kind of it's right. He literally is showing the character and nature of God.
Right.
It's difficult, and it must have been difficult. When I first started reading the Old Testament, After reading the New Testament, because I read the New Testament tons when I was first saved, and I did read Proverbs and a little bit of Psalms, but I read the New Testament multiple times. Then I started in the Old Testament. I said, where'd God go? Anybody else done that? Because you're like reading, like, who is this guy? Jesse, do you ever do that? Like, Jesus is so kind. And we, you know, and I always told Jesse, you have to put the Old Testament through the filter of Christ. Mm-hmm. That the whole reason for the Old Testament was to bring Jesus. That it wasn't to just give us a bunch of history. It was to reveal Jesus. It was literally to say that we are now pointing towards the Messiah. From the very in the beginning was meant to point towards Jesus.
The new is in the old, explained.
The new is in the old,
explained,
contained.
Or contained.
There you go.
The old contained the new with all the prophecies of Jesus. The old is in the new. Explained.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. That was one,
that
of,
was
great,
one, yeah, of Pastor Ken's
greatest, yeah.
And it's so true, because the New Testament explains the Old Testament, but the Old Testament contains the New Testament.
The revelation for me about the Old Testament versus the New when it came to Jesus and God was that the law is good. Because it came from God. Jesus is the law manifest as human.
Incarnate. Yeah.
Incarnate. Like, Jesus is the law. And when we start to realize that all those laws were just Jesus in the flesh, like, it's kind of deep, but it really makes sense. Like, he is the filter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he said, I am the fulfillment of the law.
Yes.
He is the completion. Let's go to James 2:8, the Passion Translation. Now, it doesn't say this, but I have quoted this many times. And the thing is I'm putting like so many multiple scriptures together. But what I call the law as Christians is the law of love. And I go back to the question that Jesus has asked, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbors yourself.
Right.
And so what we have here is a love law. So I like to call it the law of love. And I found in the Passion Translation, it describes this as the law of love. Your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love as given to us in the scripture. You must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. For keeping this law is the noble way to live. And another scripture, Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, which again, just completely describes Jesus.
And when I was looking up the word fulfilling from Romans 13:10, it said the completion of the law.
Exactly.
Like the law, the word law has 726 little A, B, C, and D laws under it. If you clump it all together, 726, I think, 726 are how many they the Pharisees had to follow. 726. Like, so they take us a walk in the neighborhood. What law am I breaking? Let me think. You know, they had to go through all of the, you understand what I'm saying? But this word law has those 726 underneath it. But love fulfilled all of those things. The law should say laws. Because that's multiple, but the fulfillment is the completion of all of those laws, and it's Jesus.
Yeah. So today on this Valentine's Day, I want you to ask the Lord, don't have to do it right now, you can do it when you're laying in your bed tonight, is are you yoked to his love? Lord, am I yoked to you in love, or am I yoked to you in duty? Am I yoked to you in love, or am I yoked to you in performance? Am I yoked to you in love, or am I yoked to you my past failures? Because we can even link ourselves to God with our failures.
Yeah.
That he is just there so that he can cover our failures. So that we have a get out of hell card. And that is so demeaning to the love of God, because the love of God purchased us abundant life. The love of God purchased us, his presence with us always, whether we know it or not. That's why when we were praying that, I'm going to keep harping on this till we all get it, is that he never leaves us. I mean, you can go do whatever you think you're going to do and you think that you're out of God's sight. No, he never leaves you. He doesn't, when you're in your dirtiest and your pig pen and your mud hole, you know, if you want to go to the prodigal, there was a part of God that was with the prodigal, Holy Spirit. And the Father was just waiting for the prodigal to come back, but the Holy Spirit had never left him.
Yeah.
If we're putting it into today's illustration.
And if you're living, if you're under the sound of this word today, whether it be online, weeks from now, and you're listening or sitting here, and you feel like you are in that pen, and you're in that state, and there's no way God can possibly love you or want you or anything, I want to remind you that in the state that the Son was in when he returned to the Father, matted hair, long beard, dirty, filthy, had been living in a pig pen, and the Father saw him from afar. He knew him. He recognized him. It doesn't matter how far out you've gone. God knows you. He knows you intimately and loves you deeply. And so when he runs for you, don't be afraid of that exuberant, overwhelming love that he has for you by falling on your neck and kissing that filthy pig pen neck. He loves you that much that in your state that you're in, he will run for you. He longs for you.
Amen. So, the yoke of love. Let's make sure that we're connected to the yoke of love. And you know, the thing is that we can be connected to the yoke of love for a bit, and then things come and get in our lives, and then we're yoked back up to our burdens.
Yeah.
And we have to go back to the source and say, Lord, I come back to you, and I laid these down, and I choose to yoke myself up to your love. See, I know that there's commandments that we're to follow, but I'm telling you, we're not going to follow those commandments the way that we're to do it unless we're doing them in love.
Right.
Because when it's out of just things that we're asked to do and then we try to perform them, we're going to fail. Mm-hmm. We will fail. It's impossible for us to keep the character and nature of God, because that's who he really wants us to be. Sin simply means falling short of God's glory.
Missing the mark.
In other words, we're not measuring up. And so there's areas that you know, in that we're sinning in, that people wouldn't say, well, those aren't sins. Well, we're not in the nature and character of God in that state. Mm-hmm. So it is a type of sin. But what I'm trying to say is if we realize that he is the source of everything that we need and we yoke ourselves to him, who is love, mm-hmm. then we will follow what we need to do. That's why it says, you know, John had the audacity, it says, if you love God, you're not going to sin. And people say, well, that's impossible. How can that be? Well, because if we're yoked to his love and we're linked to his love, sin doesn't have any room.
Right. And we shouldn't want it to.
We shouldn't want it to.
Okay.
Amen. Go ahead.
When you guys were talking about this, I just was thinking, like, you can be sinning as a missionary if your motives are wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what you're doing, if you are doing it, you know, abiding in God and with him and for him, and just like you guys are saying, like the love motive. If your motives are for yourself and you're doing it to, you know, be seen or, you know, whatever it is, like, or out of a works mentality of pleasing God, and I'm going to do this to please God, but it's not something that he's called you to do, and you're just doing it out of works rather than a relationship with him, that's sinning, because it's not what God wants you to do. I mean, and it's all comes down to motive. And so I'm, you know,
that's good
that too.
Yeah. And I agree with that. You could be a missionary serving on the very edge, you know, where people are in great need, but you're doing it out of the wrong motive. And you can have a mother who's just loving on her two children, and she can be more in Christ, more in his love than that missionary who's doing all this stuff. And I know that kind of goes against all the grain that we've been taught, but we have to realize that apart from love, nothing matters.
Exactly. So I know time is short, but you know, before I forget, so we were talking about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But before I get started, pastors, you know, when I, Pastor Mike, I called him this morning. He's like, hey, you know, some of that front was already done. He's like, well, I know I text you and Gaylene had to send her to the doctor. I'm telling you right now that when you got sick, Pastor, it rocked me, like my heart, you know, and this morning when he told me, it just, when Gaylene, like, oh no, you know, it just made me realize when I was out there shoveling that snow that, you know, God put it in my heart just to let you know, that you and Pastor Mike mean so much to me in my life. And I've known you so long. And you guys are, you're so important in my life to where when I knew that you were sick, it just, it was like my mom would be sick. Aww. And my dad would be sick. I don't know how everybody else has taken it, but, you know, I know it's more than just the years, you know. I know that you two mean so much to me in my life. And I know that both of you mean so much to my family. And you guys are just a part of our heart and our family.
Thank you, bro.
And you're in conversations in my home. And I love you both so, so much, Pastor.
Thank you.
And when you told me about Gaylene, like, oh, my God, you know, here, you know, I don't know how much more I could go through this, you know, because, yeah. You know, you being sick, we all went through it. Tara went through it. I went through it. Our kids went, you know, if you were sick, we would go through it together.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. We just want to let you know how much we love you.
Well,
and I
you,
love
bro.
You, you
love
know,
you
personally,
too.
Myself.
You
and, you know, I pray for your both your health, because like
Thank
Pastor
you.
Mike, I know our we're not going to live forever. Our days are numbered here on earth, but you know, just to realize
as many as we can get,
right? Just to know, just to realize how important you both are in our lives. So
yeah. Oh, he's got more.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I just want to say something to that before you say more. Is I just want to say. Our sweet church has been growing, not just in numbers, but in spirit. Like, there is a call on our church to reach our community, our outside community. This is a community, and this community was called to reach the community in Jesus' name, in love. So I'm just going to tell you, he's going to attack wherever he can. And I recognize the attack on our life, but that's why I stomped over here with my boots on. And so we're fighting the enemy because we know that God has great things for all of us. Not, you know, just, it's just, we're, it's exciting when the enemy fights you, Zeke. It really is, because that means you're doing something right. Okay, now you.
Oh, so, you know, I got up here, you know, about the Old Testament and then the New Testament. So, you know, many years ago, I read the New Testament and I thought, oh my God. God, that was so long-winded. Never going back to that, because it didn't make a lot of sense, right? But I started reading the New Testament, right? And then I'm thinking, wow, that was a roadmap. The Old Testament
is a roadmap
to the New Testament. Because, you know, the more you read it, the more I thought about the Old Testament. It's like Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham. If you read the New Testament, it makes you realize that all those people, they were like some kind of lineage. It was a roadmap to Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Without knowing them, we would have never known where Jesus was going to be born, to follow that North Star, to know, to follow that family to where Jesus was going to be born, right? So that's why I feel, you know, even though I have gone back to it, for the reasons is I realized that that was just a roadmap to the New Testament. Now that, and the Old Testament, or the New Testament would not be as powerful as it is in our lives without the Old Testament.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Old Testament wouldn't be powerful without the New Testament. So I just want to let you know, to me, both testaments, the old one was just a roadmap to the new one.
That's good. So.
That's really so good.
Anyone else? I know we've gone over, but y'all look like you're just enjoying yourself, so that's good. It's nice when truth is being communicated, because it's
Well, you guys just said my life story the last, 11 years?
Uh-huh.
So February 14, 2010, I decided to do the altar call and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
This is your anniversary.
Savior.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you.
What a great anniversary.
So, yeah, you know, everything you said is true. You know, I was lost in my ways. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to care. I was very selfish, very just worldly, you know, and I didn't know how to be a good husband or father. And, yeah, that joke got tied to me of love and righteousness, you know, and that led to my first encounter where I actually came to the cross. When Ty did his presentation in the back, it reminded me of that day. You know, all that weight started coming off, and tears of joy and sadness. I couldn't stop crying for hours.
Hallelujah.
You know, and the best part is that my family followed. They have the yoke too, you know. And, yeah, we have a prodigal, you know, but we wish her the best.
Yeah.
You know, and we pray for her. And one day, hopefully, even if she doesn't come back to the family, which will be kind of difficult, she'll find Jesus.
Amen.
You know, so I pray and hope that maybe one day we can have altar calls here. And it's like we were saying, you know, tonight when you go home, I say do it now. Ask God now, right now, where is my yoke?
Well, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so
you've got a passion for it. Go for it.
I'm going to invite anybody and everybody who wants to come up here right now, who hasn't received or wants to receive or wants to renew. Come up here right now. We'll take a minute.
Amen.
Or stand up where you're at, wherever you're at.
Amen.
Okay? Father God, we come to you right now, Father God, as
Lord.
The humble church, Lord.
Yes,
as believers Lord. Of you, Father God.
Yes.
As vessels who carry your love and your word with us, Lord. As our pastor said, to overfill for goodness, Father God. We ask, Lord, for that Holy Spirit, Father God, to come into us, Lord, and grow. Grow in spirit.
Yes.
Grow in numbers, Lord. Feed us, Father God. At the same time, let us be like little children, Lord, so
Amen.
We can come to your kingdom, Father
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Yes, yoke us to your love, Lord. Amen. Thank you, bro. Woo. All right. Anyone else? No?
Jesse, did you have something?
Okay.
All right.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Love you. And just make sure that you're in his love. Abide. Amen. Have a blessed day.
Honey, can you take this?
Yes.